We're going to be continuing in our study, New Things in the Life of a Believer. We are sanctified. We are set apart. We're going to be looking at four aspects of sanctification. We're going to be looking at the subject of preparational sanctification, positional sanctification, progressive, and also prospective. Let's begin with prayer. Father, bless us now as we look into your word. May it bless our hearts as we meditate upon the truths of these things that you are doing in our lives. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be looking at a fourfold perspective of the biblical doctrine of sanctification. The first one is what we call preparational sanctification. And what we mean by the subject of preparational sanctification is this: God's sovereign work in using all means which he chooses to draw the lost unto himself. I want you to think of how you got saved. All of the circumstances, all of the people, all of the events that the Lord used in bringing you to Christ. It is amazing. It's what we call preparational sanctification. God has chosen you from the foundation of the world, and yet he also has chosen the means whereby he will use to draw you unto himself. I think in my case, God used a neighbor who had a couple of extra tickets to a Word of Life rally in New York City. And we lived 90 miles into the island. And that neighbor gratuitously gave us those tickets. And it was a wonderful experience to actually go into the big city, which we sometimes did to visit certain family members, but we were right at the Hotel Astor in New York City, near Times Square. And for an 11-year-old boy, the lights and the dazzling traffic and all of the movement was amazing. And the Hotel Astor was a wonderful place, and it included a dinner. Wow, that was really something. And then Dr. Jack Wirtzen got up and gave a message that touched my heart. But you see, God had it all planned out. He foreordained not only my salvation, but the means by which I would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, can any of you think of some examples in the Bible where that might be the case, where God foreordained and worked the details out? Well, let me give you a few. How about in the book of Acts chapter 9, if you'll turn there with me, with the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Think of all of the things that God used in bringing Saul of Tarsus unto himself. Here's Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, persecuting the church. He obtains papers from the high priest, giving him immediate authority to carry out his judgments. And then, providentially, he's on the road to Damascus, and he encounters a vision. And it says in verse 4, he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." You see, our Lord, by the way, identifies with our trials and testings. And that's something we'll be getting into a little bit next week as we look at the believer's place in the body of Christ, another new thing that is found in the life of a believer. But we'll go on to just definitely show here how then in verses 9 through 16, after we have Saul of Tarsus with this vision, then the Lord works and He gives instructions to Ananias. And as a result of his instruction to Ananias, Ananias follows the leadership of the Lord and he receives instruction. He receives instruction that he is going to contact him. And in verse 15, the Lord says, "Go thy way. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles." And then, of course, we see how Ananias is used to give instruction to Saul of Tarsus. God works in different people's lives to accomplish the ministry of the gospel. If I could take time tonight and just hear your testimony, it would be fascinating to just go around and share how God worked in so many different ways. Let me give you another example. How about in Acts chapter 10, verse 30, with the conversion of Cornelius? Here in Acts chapter 10 and verse 1, you know the narrative. Cornelius is a centurion of the Italian band. He is a devout man, fears God, and then he has a vision, the ninth hour of the day. And the Word of God tells us that the Lord says, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." Be careful when you say that God doesn't hear the prayers of the unsaved, because here's a case where he did. But we're seeing that pertaining to God's elective purposes, he can do what he wants. Why? Because he is the God of preparational sanctification. He saw that Cornelius was searching for the truth. And there's a biblical principle that when those that search, they will find. Here was a man who was responding to the little light that he had, and God gave more. And then what happens in verses 9 through 16? You know the narrative. You have Peter's vision of a great sheet. God is starting to work in Peter's heart and life so that Peter will be willing to give the gospel to a Gentile. God sanctifying, setting apart, working the means whereby Cornelius would be saved. And then, of course, in the latter part of verse 10, you have Peter's message that brings about Cornelius to salvation. I just want you to appreciate the means and just take the time sometime tonight before you pillow your head. Think about your salvation and just stop a moment and ask yourself, what are all of the things that God really used to bring me to Christ? I always think of the story of Melody's mom, Amelia Schaefer, and how that she got saved at a vacation Bible school, and it was kind of a tent vacation Bible school environment, and the pastor came up to her and basically said, "Little girl, do you know Jesus as your Savior?" And he was just talking, and she said, "No, I don't," and he led her to the Lord right there. Think of all of the people that sacrificed putting those tents up, who brought the cookies, who brought the drink, who picked up the kids, who drove the buses. Everyone that was involved in even thinking up the vacation Bible school plan, every one of them were laborers together. They were rope holders for that little child, Amelia Schaefer, to come to know Christ. And because that night Amelia Schaefer came to know Christ, I have a wonderful wife that loves the Lord, and she's a pastor's wife. And the implications of preparational sanctification. So here's your homework assignment. Go back to the time that you were saved and ask yourself, you know, that person that led me to the Lord at that meeting, what prompted them to go to that meeting? What prompted them to be the counselor and all of the details involved in that situation? I think you'll appreciate God's work and how he loved you from the foundation of the world. That's the definition of preparational sanctification. Again, God's sovereign work in using all means which he chooses to bring the lost unto himself. And let me say, that includes flat tires. It includes road rangers that may come to your rescue that you can leave a gospel tract with and they can get saved. It includes hospital visits, waiting too long in the office for your appointment, and you sit next to someone that needs Jesus and you give them a tract. You know, you may think that this is an annoyance. Here, my schedule is so busy and this is taking too long. But from the eternity past, God planned that you should be next to that person to give them the gospel. Preparational sanctification. God set apart the circumstances, the events, every detail, so that you would be able to come to know the Lord. And in many, many cases, it involves hardship, folks. Hardship in the lives of people so that they'll be willing to come to know the Lord. Sometimes it can be hurtful experience, prison sentences, decisions from a judge for community service, all kinds of things. And then all of a sudden you run across someone that gives you the gospel. Are you flexible enough to be available for God to use you in someone's testimony for preparational sanctification? I don't know about you, but it's a great honor to be able to be one of those that's available. Do you ever retire? Do you ever retire from this type of work? No, you don't. Because you'll be going places. You'll be going to Ace Hardware. You'll be going to Home Depot. You'll be going to Walmart. All around you are people that God would have us share the gospel with. And I guess a great time would be just to hear people's testimonies, but we're not going to do that tonight. But just think about that before you pillow your head tonight. What did God use and what sacrifice was necessary on the part of people to say, I'm going to go to that home and visit you? That's something to think about. Number two, there's a positional sanctification. Not only preparational sanctification, but positional sanctification. Here's the definition of positional sanctification. The believer's position in Christ Jesus as holy and blameless through God's justifying work. Now, when it comes to positional sanctification, it's very similar to justification because it is a work that the Lord has done in setting us apart as his particular possession. We are his child, and he has set us apart. Now, you know, when I come to your home and visit, I don't want you to put out the Limoges china. None of that, please. You know, just break out the tumblers. I'm a tumbler pastor, a plastic cup pastor. And so you don't have to get very fancy. But all of you have special china that you may use for particular events and special things like that. That's set apart. Well, the Lord has set us apart. We're a people of his private possession. And in our position in Christ, we are set apart as his children in his image for his glory. And that is the believer's position in Christ Jesus. Let me give you a few scriptures that would speak about that. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, believers are called saints. Notice what it says. Paul writes and he says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. They have been set apart in God's plan and purpose to be holy and blameless. Later on, he says, called. You'll notice the phrase in the King James is in italics, literally called saints, called holy ones. This speaks of our righteous position that we have in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to take you to all of these, but let me take you to verse 30 of chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30 says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." Our position that we have in Christ Jesus. I'll just make a quick reference to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. You know, in a day of political correctness, we really need to keep in mind who we are in Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he's talking about the unrighteous and those that don't know the Lord. But you know, verse 11 says, "But such were some of you." Isn't it interesting that our previous life may have included all of those horrible sins in verses 9 and 10, but we have a forgiving God. There's no one that is beyond God's grace. And it says here, "Such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And the term washed, justified, and sanctified are used to speak of the believer's positional righteousness that he has in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, it speaks about the Lord cleansing through the washing of the water of the word, that we might be presented blameless unto the Lord. Now, I'd like to deal not only with the subject of preparational sanctification and positional sanctification, but here's the third aspect of sanctification, and that is this: progressive sanctification. This is your entire life from the moment you get saved until he calls you home, where he's working on you to make in your daily walk you conformed to the image of Christ. Here's the definition: God's continuing work in setting us apart unto himself to make us more like him in our daily walk with him. Do you remember the Lord's high priestly prayer in John chapter 17 and verse 17 when he said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth." The way we grow experientially is through the word of God. Growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By the way, in 2018, are you making a commitment to be more in the word of God? That will enable us to grow to be more like Jesus. And then, of course, in Romans 6 and verse 22, the word of God says, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life." 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 and 4, "This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality." You see, that's the concept that is there given to us. Now, let's take a look at the subject of prospective sanctification. This is an aspect that looks forward. We have been set apart. Notice the definition of prospective sanctification: God's completing his work in us, making us conformed to the image of Christ. This takes place when we are in his presence and we receive our glorified body, free from indwelling sin. All of those that have gone on before, I think of your loved ones and that I've known in the 17, 18 years that I've been here at Central Florida Bible Church. Many of them we know are in heaven now, but they're still awaiting their glorified body But prospective sanctification is when God's work is totally completed and we are set apart with our glorified bodies. Now, let me give you a scripture for that. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. Let's look at verse 12 and step back and look at 12 and 13. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love towards one another. That's progressive sanctification. And towards all men, even as we do towards you, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. There you have the concept of final prospective. Some people call it perfective sanctification, but I like the concept of prospective sanctification. Let me give you another one since you're in 1 Thessalonians. Take a look at chapter 5 and verse 23. It says this, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Now, wholly is referring to the glorified body included, which is yet prophetic for us. The God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then I'd like to just bring to your remembrance that scripture of Philippians 1:6. He who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, I have a song that is entitled Sanctify Me that I want you to listen to because I think that it will be a blessing to you as we yield ourselves. It has special reference to progressive sanctification where we yield ourselves to the work of the Lord. Listen.
Deceitful desires, create me anew.
Could we stand together and have a word of prayer? And while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm wondering if we're willing to say, Lord, have your will and your way in my life. Lord, I want to surrender my body to you, my entire life unto you. Lord, with all the trials and the testings, the new turns in my life, the unanticipated, the heartache, the joys, the sorrows, the challenges, Lord Jesus, use them all as I surrender my life anew and afresh to you. Lord, use the remaining years and the time of my life to honor and glorify and to lead others to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Help me to be an ambassador for you, to be laborers together with God in the lives of others. Oh, may that be your prayer this evening. Bless us now, Lord. I ask your special blessing upon each one that has gathered together. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.